Good morning. It's so good to gather together this morning, to be loved by God and by one another, and to express our love back. We've had an exciting week for children and teens here at First Baptist, but in other places, our teens and the adults that have been on the mission trip are returning home today. We ask that you would be praying for them as they travel home. They've had a great week. We also had a great week of vacation Bible school. Lots of kids and adults exploring what it would have been like to live at the time of Paul, traveling around, spreading the good word. I want to draw your attention to a few things that are happening today. We have the privilege of hearing more about Hope Clinic. And we will hear from Dottie. She'll come and share with us about the work that they do together. And then we have a chance to have cake and hear more down in the fellowship hall. So we invite you to join us after church downstairs in the fellowship hall for that. You'll find in your bulletin a connection card. Those are in there every week. We invite you to fill out some information about you, whether it's your first time here or if you've been here for years. And on the back, there's a chance to indicate how you might get connected, be connected, either to the church and with God. Check out those options. We invite you to place this in the offering plate as it goes by later in worship. So now I invite you to get ready to worship with all of your being.
Stand if you are able. Pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we come this morning to worship you. Help us to be open to your message and what it can do in our lives and to share that message with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Incline your ear to me, O Lord, for I am poor and needy. Be gracious to me, for I cry to you all day long.
Restore me to gladness,
for to you I lift up my soul. For you are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. On the day of my trouble, I call on you, for you will answer me. O God, be gracious to me, for you are my strength.
Good morning. We're here this morning to hear a little bit about Hope Clinic. Some wonderful things are happening at Hope Clinic. And one of the good things here at First Baptist Church is that we have added them to our church budget. And so this morning we want to present to you a gift given in love from this congregation to you and to the community of Ypsilanti and surrounding areas. So we thank you for coming and sharing Hope Clinic's ministry with us this day. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'm so pleased to see Zan. We haven't seen each other in years. My children went to Ann Arbor Christian School where she taught. Now to Hope Clinic. First of all, thank you for your donation. I don't know how many of you know about Hope Clinic, but obviously some of you do because you've chosen to give to Hope Clinic. Hope Clinic is a non-denominational Christian nonprofit organization that serves the uninsured and underinsured in Washtenaw and surrounding counties. We're located in Ypsilanti. We were founded in 1982 by Dr. Dan Heffernan, who is a physician and a very devout Christian, and he felt the Lord calling him to serve God's beloved poor. That was 35 years ago this year. He was in Midland, Michigan when this happened, and he started serving people out of the trunk of his car. Eventually, the family felt called to Ann Arbor, where he joined a practice here and started a clinic in borrowed space and began serving God's beloved poor. Since then, we have added social services. We have added a free dental clinic. And we now also have a food program that is very much supported by many churches in the community and food gatherers. Many churches in the community dedicate space in their fellowship halls to carts or baskets to fill with non-perishable food items, and then someone from the church brings them over to the clinic. We also have drives. Many of the Christian and Catholic schools around the area have donations brought in for diapers for the babies, baby food. We have a layette ministry for young families when they're having new babies. And our dental clinic is just overwhelming. And I'd like to share with you a very brief story of a gentleman. I have brought some information about Hope, and it'll be on the table in the basement, or in the fellowship hall. But the gentleman I'm talking about is featured in this. And Tony had stubs for teeth. And his daughter was a star on a track team at a college. And he loved to go to her meets, but he wouldn't smile because he just had stubs. Well, he came into our clinic, and he was eventually provided with a full set of dentures. That man smiles, and he's an articulate speaker. He spoke at our spring banquet, and he shared his story with us and how he was so pleased to go down and celebrate with his daughter at her, I think it's track, it could be cross country, but anyway, at her victory and her team going to the nationals. And he said he never stopped smiling. He just so enjoyed being able to smile because he had teeth again. So, but there are many, many, many stories like that out of Hope Clinic. And I do have a DVD that will show you some of those stories. It's important to me to notify you that we take absolutely no government funding, not from Washtenaw County, not from the state of Michigan, not from the U.S. government. We are totally supported by donations from individuals, organizations, foundations, and we so appreciate every penny that you give to us. We can't thank you enough. Our work is God's work. It is God's clinic. The entire clinic, the entire organization is bathed daily in prayer. Everyone who enters those doors is prayed for. We have a prayer ministry where people can request prayer for their own individual needs. Someone is there, someone will pray with them. We feel that everyone that enters those doors needs Jesus, and we need to bring Jesus to them and them to Jesus. And the only way we can do it is the one-on-one ministry that the prayer warriors provide. If you have any questions or anything, please come to me in the fellowship hall after the service. I'll be more than happy to share with you more of what Hope is doing in our community. Thank you very much, and thank you again for your donation.
Donnie, thank you for that and for the work you're doing, and we look forward to learning more after the service. Here is a reading from the book of Genesis. This reading begins midpoint in a longer story that you'll hear more about before the hour is done. It is the story of Hagar, the slave girl of Sarah, and her son Ishmael. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not be distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you, for it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named for you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread and a skin of water, and gave it to Hagar. Putting it on her shoulder, along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. And then she went and sat down opposite him a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot, and she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift up the boy and hold him fast, with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him. And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled his skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife for him from the land of Egypt. The word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Dear merciful God, while we are thankful for the minds you've given us, we confess our frustration at how little we understand. We don't understand why so many must suffer so much. We don't understand what we can do or anything much of it would make much of a difference. We don't understand people who think differently than we do, and we don't even understand ourselves. Perhaps this will always be so. But perhaps as well it would help if we had better understanding of your spirit. We keep ourselves too distant from you as if we were afraid. Help us not to be afraid of seeking you and of listening more deeply for your spirit's voice. And so make us teachable. And make us open to new insight and fresh discoveries of your purpose for us all. We pray today for this congregation. Stir us to all that you would have us to do and to be. Deepen our faith. Lengthen the reach of our love. Enlarge our sense of purpose here. Kindle our imaginations into more vital expressions of good news. Help us to be a welcoming people and a community of encouragement and of solidarity with those around us and among us whose needs are great. We pray now for these in particular. The family and loved ones of Jerry Reese. For Bill and Jenny McKeachie, Helen Louise Bowser, Nancy Rushton, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Ethan Wright, Wally Jordan, Saul Charlie, Logan Sweet, Paul Karen, Dottie Kassler, Jody Wilt, the youth and the adults as they return from the mission trip today. We pray for Kay and Barbara and Barb and Bob, for Jim Terrace, Jim Johnson, for Marilyn Marsh, for the Jones family, for John Wallace, for Kim and Jason Weaver, and for Peter, and for the work and the community of the Hope Clinic. And now, gracious Lord, hear our silent prayers. All of these concerns we commit into your gracious hand. Now deepen our love so that we might be more usable instruments in your answering of such prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
The New Testament reading is from the book of Romans. What then are we to say? Should we continue in our sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died in sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And now it's time for the children to come forward to have time with Zan.
When Emmanuel was 2, he fought with his cousin all the time. He had a cousin who was also 2 named Dash. And they would fight over cars. It turned out that every time we got together with Dash, Dash and Emmanuel wanted the exact same car. And the mamas, we'd say, "How about this one? Try this one." Nope. They always wanted the exact same car. And they would fight, and we'd talk about sharing. And finally, one day, I said to my big sister, "Oh, I give up. Let's just let them not share." I thought, you know what? This is such hard work. Forget it. Someday they'll figure it out, but now I'm giving up. Today's reading that Miss Nancy read was about making choices, about sin. That's the word that was used in that part of Scripture, sin. And it said, we make mistakes, but Jesus always draws us back. Jesus is not like me who says, "Oh, forget it. Andrew's never going to get it." Or, "Oh, forget it. Chloe will get it when she's 22. No, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus always pulls us back in to be in tune with what God wants. And to be in tune with God wants has this big word that sometimes in Ann Arbor we don't use, but obey. It's an important word. It's an important word. So Jesus always calls us in to obey God. Because the reality is that Dash and Emmanuel, they were much happier when they were sharing with each other. It's better for all of us when we make good choices. It's better for all of God's people. It's best for God, too, when we obey. And the good news is Jesus doesn't give up. Jesus always calls us back to be in tune with God. Let's pray together. God, thank you for Jesus who pulls us in, who helps us know what you are about in the world and in our own lives. Help us make good choices. Help us obey so that we can see you in our lives and others can see you too. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Would you pray with me, please? O Spirit of God, now open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds to a new and living word. May it find its life in us. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In 1985 came the novel by Margaret Atwood called The Handmaid's Tale. It's been getting new attention lately because they've made it into a TV series. The novel imagines a dystopian future not so distant. An environmental disaster has caused mass infertility. Almost no babies are born, and those who are born, most of them don't survive. In this crisis, America is taken over by a totalitarian religious cult. Under their new laws, what few fertile women remain are rounded up, subjugated into so-called handmaids, then each one sent to a wealthy household where the man of the house, in bizarre religious ceremony, was to impregnate her for then his wife to raise the child as her own. It is an awful story. And yet it is stirring too, because the handmaid who tells her story is so fierce and how she holds on to her selfhood. The story we have heard this morning is not terribly distant from a story like that. There's a lot of ugliness in this story. But there's a whole lot in this story, too. There's a great deal more than ugly. It has much to tell us, so let's listen to it. Her name is Hagar. She is a young Egyptian woman, and she is a slave. The man who owns her is Abraham. Did you know this about him? That the founder of three world religions had slaves. The system of slavery then was not nearly as brutal as the form of it practiced in our country for centuries, nor the kind practiced many places now in what we call human trafficking. But still, she was his possession. She was a slave. One night she is taken to him and made to sleep with him. Her body is not her own. Strangely, the order came from Sarah, his wife. She wants a child, and in her culture, she's nobody without a child. And hadn't God promised that Abraham would have a son? But Sarah's old now. So she makes it happen through the body of her slave. She tells her husband to do it, and he raises no objection. Now, we know that this is dead wrong. But these two founders of our faith, they can't see that it's wrong. Why? Because this was done throughout their world, their whole known world. To be wealthy is to own other human beings. And to use a slave girl's body in this way and to let the woman of the house raise her as her own, why, in that culture and surrounding cultures, that is normal. It's done in part because it's also normal to understand that a woman who doesn't have a child is not worth much. Everybody knew that. Do you ever think of how people in the future will look back on us and say, how could they have lived as they did when so much of that was obviously so wrong? How did they not see that? They will see the disparities we hold between women and men, the racism that's woven into our society, our discrimination against LGBT people, our criminal justice system, our attitudes toward the elderly, our acceptance of the massive dehumanizing of the poor. And assuming there are Christians, they will look back on our churches surely and ask, how did they get so much of it so wrong? And we might answer, well, that's just how it was all around us. So we couldn't see it. Okay. But it's important that people of faith know this. The liberating work of God's Holy Spirit is to open our eyes to what many around us cannot see, not yet. And to live the life of faith is to say, Holy Spirit, come and open our eyes, open my eyes, to see how we must change. And grant us strength and courage to do our faithful part. Back to Hagar, who has now become pregnant. A remarkable thing happens to her now. Something in her changes. Some of our translations say that when she saw that she had conceived, she despised Sarah. But the words in the Hebrew actually mean, now Sarah was slight in her eyes. See, Hagar now sees that the powerful lady isn't so powerful. The illusion of who is better than whom dissolves. She can see Sarah for who she is. And she now sees herself and can lift up her head. Sarah's furious. She tears into Abraham and says, this is all your fault. Which partly it was. We're told then that she, quote, dealt harshly with Hagar. The very same word used of what Pharaoh would do later to the Hebrew slaves. It means abuse. And Hagar won't stand for it. She runs away. A slave girl pregnant with her master's child escapes into the desert. And there she is met by an angel of the Lord, who says, Hagar, where are you going? It is the first time in the story that anyone has spoken to her. Sarah talked about her plenty, but God's angel addresses her, and even by name, which no one else in the story ever does. The angel also asks her to tell how it is with her. Calls forward her voice. It's surprising to us then when after she has spoken, what the angel says is, you need to go back. Naturally, many people in our past used that statement to say God approves of slavery. The truth is, in that wilderness, the angel may well have been saving her life. And more than this, he now grants a promise over her. And your offspring shall multiply beyond counting in the world.
That is the promise that God kept making to patriarchs, but now gives it to a woman and a slave. The angel adds, "And this son you bear, call him Ishmael, for that means God hears, and God hears you." He goes back, brings Ishmael into the world, and years pass, and then something else wonderful happens. Sarah has a miraculous baby of her own. They call him Laughter, Isaac. You would think that would be the ending of the story, because that's a pretty happy possible ending. But Sarah's laughter came pretty quickly to a furious halt, and it happened at a party. Abraham was throwing a party in celebration of the weaning of his son Isaac, which is to say, thank God he came through the most fragile of years. During this party, Sarah saw something that made her eyes narrow. She saw Ishmael playing with Isaac, as if they might be equals. She tears into her husband and says, "Drive out that slave woman and her son, for the son of that slave woman will not inherit with my son, Isaac." He is distressed, but apparently not for Hagar, but for Ishmael, who is after all his son. But God says the story, tells him to do it. Do what your wife says. I will make Ishmael the father of a great nation. If that's to be so, maybe Ishmael will need to marry somebody not of the Hebrew people. Next morning, Abraham sends them away, and he does it all wrong. Gives no word of blessing, gives her only one skin of water and some bread, and sets her and her baby into the desert on foot. How can he give her so little? Why not give her more and give her transport and somebody to go with her? Is he really that blind because of his world? She walked through the desert with the child till she could go no further. They had squeezed the last drop of water onto their parched tongue. She lay down her child in the shadow of a shrub and staggered away and said, "I cannot watch him die." And then she cried out and wept. And God heard. It doesn't say she prayed. It doesn't have to say she prayed. God can hear the rolling of a tear down a human face. And for the second time in her life, she now hears the voice of an angel again calling her by name. "What troubles you, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard. It's the name God gave you for your child. God hears. And God hears you most keenly in your sorrow, in your sense of no future." And then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and the two of them drank, and they survived. Not only survived, but flourished. And Hagar went to Egypt and found her son a wife from there. What does the story tell us? Well, for one thing, it tells us that people who have been fantastically blessed can be monstrously blind to the needs and the rights of people around them. It's not because we are hateful, not most of us. We're just so entirely encompassed by these permeating cultural values and systemic assumptions of our time that we are largely blinded. But we don't have to be. Good news. God's Holy Spirit is moving to open the eyes of those who will desire it. So with all our hearts, let's desire and seek and pray for the gift of newly opened eyes. And it would help if we would listen to the voices of the Hagars among us. But do notice also, this story in the end is really much less about us than it is about God, who takes up the pieces of all this human breakage to create new life. God did this with Sarah and Abraham, misguided as they were, gave them a miraculous child called laughter. And when they did what they did to Hagar, it was a crime. But out of it, God created a new people who are still heard, whose other children belong also to God. From Ishmael's line in time came Muhammad. Hagar, rejected by Abraham and Sarah, can be called the mother of Muslims. In our present time, when so many Christians, Jews, and Muslims fear one another and sometimes despise one another, it is worth remembering this ancient story in which Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar could find reason to fear each other. And despise each other. But God was at work in it all to bless them all. Truth be told, you and I are cousins of Ishmael. Like him, we were not, most of us, of the family of those who were called the chosen people. And as God heard Ishmael's mother Hagar, God hears us, hears you, and hears you more keenly than ever in your time of sorrow and worry, your sense of little hope and little future. God still calls you as God called her by name and says, don't be afraid. I will bless you. I will give you a future greater than you had dreamed. Trust that. Perhaps the voice of God will also add, and I will help you to hear with me the cries of my other children, for I would open your eyes to them and make you a thankful and faithful instrument of the full blessing that I would give to them all. Children of the promise, let it be so. Our hands, our lives are filled with blessing. Blessed as we are, let us offer as we can what we have, all that we are, and all that God calls us still to become. O God, for all your gifts to us, your gifts especially through Jesus Christ, who brings us to be among the chosen, we offer our thanks, we offer the present, and we offer the future you would have us to live toward. Bless the lives we mean to lead, to live in Christ. Use us for your purpose. And in the end, for your glory. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. How fortunate we are and how blessed. The gifts of God we extend to each other now, the best of gifts. May the peace of Christ be with you. You may be seated. Our wholehearted thanks today to Austin Ferris. Thank you. Wow. We remind you and invite you to stay following this service for time down in the fellowship hall, not just refreshment and friendship, but then time to learn more about the great work of the Hope Clinic. Please stay for as much of that as you're able to do. And now receive benediction.
Big for something good. The grace to